let me just tell everybody that Bob Chapman is a longtime market professional. He's been in this business for over 40 years. He's written articles. He does analysis on business, finance, economics, and politics. And he's currently the owner and editor of the International Forecaster. It's a compendium of information on business, finance, economics, and social and political issues worldwide. He's also a speaker. He holds workshops and business conferences. He does it globally. And Bob is on, is seen and heard on so many radio and TV programs. Bob, I just don't know how you keep track of them all, or how you remember what you've got to do on Monday versus Tuesday. It reminds me of the old Abbott and Costello thing of who's on first and who's on second, and remembering who's where and what's what, but somehow you managed to do it. Oh, I am delighted to have you on to talk about the global economic crisis, and you put out a voluminous report every week. I don't know how you get so much information out, but you do it twice weekly. And you, I would say that you were one of the earliest to spot what was going on and explain it the way it needs to be explained. So let me turn it over to you. Explain the listeners, when you saw this thing coming, what we're going through now, and what you see unfolding as we look to the months ahead.
Well, I hate to do this, but I have to go back to 1988, and we had a recession. And it lasted until 1992. And, of course, it was brought to an end by printing money, issuing credit, and lowering interest rates. And the opportunity was there to purge the system then of its excesses, and it wouldn't have been painful. We would have had a deep recession. It probably would have lasted a year, year and a half, 2 years maybe, and that would have been it. But the powers that be weren't going to do that, so they got interest rates way up in 93, 8 3/16 on the 30-year. And then they did it again, pouring the money in. We had a little lift, and it went down again. And finally, we came into the dot-com boom when they unleashed more money. And we called the top of the market in the first week of April of 2000, got everybody out that wanted to get out, and we started switching over to gold and silver-related assets, and then we entered into another recession. But the powers behind government had decided that they didn't want to have one of those right now, so they took interest rates down to 1%. They made money and credit available, and you saw what happened. Subprime, ALTA loans, foreclosures, 50% drops in the value of real estate, all of which we forecast starting in November of 04. We said the top of the market in real estate would be between June and December of 2007, and that was the top. And all of the things that have happened, we predicted them all. And we also predicted that the recession would begin some 2 years ago, and I believe the recession ended this past February, just 2 years after it began. I think we're in depression, and I think it's going to get considerably worse. The problem is that the Fed Reserve, which is privately owned, and is owned by 12 regional Federal Reserve banks. And they're large shareholders, who have been large shareholders since 1913, control those banks as well as the Federal Reserve in Washington. And as an aside, as you probably are aware, there's legislation in the House, H.R. 1207, which John Stadmiller and I have talked about before. And about 2 months ago, I started on a mini crusade all over the networks, and I was fortunate. I got on over 100 different programs and told people about the Federal Reserve Transparency Act of 2009. At that time, they had about 100 co-sponsors, and now they get 213. And all they need is 218. They can bring it out of committee and bring it up for a vote.
This would be to audit the Federal Reserve, Bob. Is that
to
right?
Audit the Fed, that's correct. And I think it'll get passed in the House. The Senate will have to work on next, and it'll have to go through all that again. And this is Ron Paul's bill. I have not talked to Ron Paul. I just did this unilaterally. But this is the cause of all of our problems. That's why I brought it in at this point. The banks and the brokerage firms, private equity firms, have been running rampant. In fractional banking, usually a bank will lend $8 to $10 on every dollar they have on deposit. That's normal, historically. All of these institutions, including the hedge funds, were using leverage of 40 to 60 times. Some of the hedge funds were over 100 times. So they just went absolutely berserk. They turned the financial system simply into a casino. And then the Fed and the Treasury, to some extent, have gone about bailing out all these entities, part of whom own the Fed in Washington. We have 19 banks which are insolvent, the biggest banks that control 75% of the deposits. And that's why that's the excuse they use to bail them out. They should have let them all go under. And it would have been cheaper for the government to pay off the depositors than it would be to bail the banks out. And so the legislation is very important so it doesn't happen again. Follow-up legislation is in the hopper to get rid of the Fed, and I think that's the best thing that could happen to us. It would give us a chance to see through, get some transparency of what's going on in our monetary world, because the Fed sets interest rates and creates money and credit and also supposedly smooths the Treasury bond market, as well as it also has the job of creating money out of thin air. And
but
so
there's no question in my mind, and other guests have come on this program, as you've been saying, the core issue in this country, the core reason that we're in this terrible economic mess globally is the U.S. Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve, as you say, a private banking cartel. The major banks own it. The big ones are insolvent. I think another solution is don't bail out these banks. It's like taking a cancerous institution and making it even more cancerous, keeping it alive, letting the malignancy grow and spread. The best way to solve this problem is abolish the Fed. Ron Paul has tried and failed at least three times, I believe, with the Federal Reserve Abolition Act. Close down the big banks or break them up. Establish a system of smaller, ideally community-based banks. I have other thoughts as well that we've talked about in this program. But we have a malignant system that sooner or later, I'm sure you'll agree, Bob, it's going to destroy us if we don't change it.
There's one addition to that. And because of our Congress as well as the executive and the people who control them, they have allowed free trade and globalization for the past 20 years, and it's destroyed our economy, particularly our manufacturing, and it's caused massive unemployment. And I want to see legislation that reinstitutes tariffs on goods and services. And I want those jobs to come back to the United States. It's what they've done is wrong, and the reason the transnational conglomerates have done it is they produce overseas, and their profits go to the Cayman Islands. If they don't bring the money back, they pay a 2% tax there, and that's it. And while you get the music, I'll tell you what they've been doing in the meantime.
The band playing, so let's take a short break, Bob, and we'll come right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Throwing a monkey wrench into it. I was just stuck. Well, can you hear me? Okay. Let me leave.
I can hear you as well.
Can you hear me okay?
Sure. So anyway, The Federal Reserve is the main culprit in this thing, and the ability for the transnational conglomerates to ferret this money away and make enormous profits is unbelievable. And most people don't realize it. I mean, like 98% of Americans. And, you know, back 4 years ago, in order to bring some of this money back to the United States, legislation was passed that allowed these transnationals who have taken all our jobs away to bring money back in ostensibly to create jobs. Well, of course, it was passed. The money came in, $350 billion, and they created no jobs. The kicker was, instead of paying 35% taxation, they paid 5.25%. How they come up with that figure, I don't know, but anyway, that's what they did, and now they want to do it again for another $700 billion. And it just shows you how evil these people are. And they've killed our economy, and we've got to put tariffs up to stop them.
Oh, there's no question, Bob. We have turned a nation that was an industrial nation into a financialized nation. And the Wall Street people, I lump the big ones together under the designation Wall Street. Bank of America is headquartered, where are they headquartered? North Carolina?
Yes.
But I think Wall Street is a good all-embracing term. And they basically rule the roost. The institutions that control the nation's money, that print the money, that decide what the cost of money will be, they pretty much run everything. It bothers me greatly that other industry. Well, I don't worry. I don't fret too much about other industries, but they're really very beholden to what the major bankers want to do, and because of this crisis, that I don't think was happenstance. I think these people manufactured it for their own self-interest. So you get the company that used to be, I guess literally, the world's iconic industrial company, General Motors, going bankrupt. That strikes me as a canary in the coal mine. If the once major world corporation is now, instead of General Motors, it's now Government Motors, and where it goes from here, who knows, then what does this say about the U.S. as an industrial economy? Well, it's just fading and fading and fading, and these bankers are just killing us.
Well, you're right, and I think, you know, we'll take one thing at a time, and if we can get the investigation of the Fed underway and people see what they've done, then we can get rid of them, and at the same time we can try to get legislation on level or tariffs. Level trade and tariffs. We can do those two things. We can do it. You know, everybody else cheats but us. They all devalue their currencies deliberately. And the U.S. doesn't say anything because they have to do it by creating the local currency. We'll use China, like the yuan. They print currency and then they buy dollars. And that cheapens their currency. And at the same time, the dollars are used to buy treasuries and agency securities and other dollar-denominated assets, so, and also the cheap goods keep inflation down in the United States. So the U.S. hasn't said anything up till this point, so to speak, until the Chinese and others became concerned with the dropping value of the dollar. And now they're worried about it because 64.5% of foreign exchange reserves that are held by all foreign countries are in dollars. And the dollar just came down from 89.5 on the USDX. It's trading around 80. It could easily go back to 71.18, where it bottomed about a year ago. And I think it could go considerably lower. And so all of these countries are at risk, but someone has to tell them what alternative the U.S. government has in the Fed. And there is no alternative. They just have to keep on keeping interest rates low, and they have to keep on creating money and credit and bailing out particularly their friends, because that's exactly what's going on. If you notice, 37 banks went under. All of them were small except for one was medium-sized. And not one of them got bailed out. I mean, it would have been easy to bail those banks out. But no, they didn't do that. And so that's, you know, the whole tenor of this thing is we save our buddies who ruined the system. The system supposedly is being rescued by the very parties that destroyed it. Not very sensible.
Not very sensible at all, Bob. Of course, that's part of the game, and we have to take another break. It's to let the big boys consolidate so they can use all this money we're giving them. Let the little ones go under, but we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
To the News Hour, along with Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, talking about the global economy, the global economic crisis. Bob, you've seen the banks get bigger and bigger through the years, and now they've been handed, either handed or committed to trillions of dollars. The idea isn't to use this money to revive the economy. The idea is to get back into the speculation game, to buy up competitors, or let the little ones that you were talking about go under, so the big boys have less competition. And back in 1999, I guess it was, they got rid of Glass-Steagall. Larry Summers is Treasury Secretary at the time, and now Larry Summers, of course, back. Probably he may be as powerful an economic guy as there is in the Obama administration today. So all the regulations are by the boys, more or less, and the big bank is rule the roost. And do you see any possibility of getting any sense back into the system as you look ahead, Bob? I know your outlook going forward is a very, very grim one, and I'd like you to tell listeners what you think you see showing up in the months and years to come. But, I just spewed out a whole lot. I'll let you pick up on it and comment on it.
Well, the Fed and Wall Street and banking are in a box and they can't get out. They made the decision to follow the path that they were going to follow in June of 2002. And since then, they followed that path and it's brought disaster to the system. Now, if they were to go ahead and raise interest rates, what would happen would be bonds would probably firm up, the dollar would probably firm up, and the economy would probably turn further down. I don't know whether at this time or in the immediate future that they're ready for a deflationary depression. we're in depression, but we're in an inflationary mode. And it's going to get worse because what they have been doing is they have lowered interest rates to virtually zero. They're creating money and credit at an 18% annual rate. They're giving out loans like they were popcorn. They committed the Fed along with the Treasury to $14.8 trillion in that category. And they keep on adding to it every day. And worst of all, they're monetizing. And monetizing is when you create money out of thin air and it goes into the system, it immediately becomes inflationary. And that's what started this past month. Because the Fed is going to buy or has bought, and we don't know because they lie about everything, just like the government does and Wall Street does and banking does. And they have committed themselves for a first tranche of purchase of U.S. Treasuries, either in the market or from the Treasury, at $300 billion. They also agreed to take down $800 billion worth of agencies. They are the bonds of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, etc. And they are going to pick up $1.5 trillion worth of what is called toxic waste. And that what that is collateralized debt obligations, which are mortgages which have been put into the form of bonds. And so what are we talking here? $2.3 trillion, whatever it is, it's an enormous figure. And it's all being monetized. And it'll be so between now and the end of September, which is the end of the fiscal year. And they're going to have to turn around and do it again and again and again. And all of this goes on the Fed sheets. In the first quarter, the Fed lost over $5 billion. Now, that's incredible.
I think
at that rate, they'll lose $20 billion a year. That's a lot of money. But I think the figure will be far higher than that. And most of the paper they're taking on is longer-term paper. 3, 5, 10, 20-year paper. And so the problem is that all of this is being bought with money that's been created out of thin air. So you put it all together, and there's no way out. Now, what should they have done in the first place? They should have purged the system, let the banks and insurance companies and brokerage firms that were losing money and were insolvent, they should have let them go under. But some of those banks are the same ones that own the Fed. So they're not going to let that happen. So we didn't have a purging in the classical economic sense. And it's the only thing that's going to work. So they will continue to inflate until they can't inflate anymore, until deflation catches up with them. And then we will go into a deflationary depression, total world economic and financial collapse. And then after we're in that mode for 3 or 4 or 5 years and all of the improper investments are liquidated, then we can start over again from a smaller base and from probably a smaller world population, because it's going to affect the entire world. There are people who are going to starve to death. And knowing these people who are behind the scenes controlling everything, they'll have another war. And the war is the distraction. That's what we had World War II for, because we couldn't get out of depression. Neither could anybody else. And so we had a collapse.
Bob, we have another distraction going on right now. It's called swine flu. Swine flu is a complete fraud. Forensic evidence proves not a single case of swine flu anywhere in the world. But today, World Health Organization declared, I believe, a level 6 pandemic. I believe I've got the level right, a level 6 pandemic, based on no forensically proved swine flu case anywhere. This is pretty outrageous stuff. They're scaring the hell out of people. They want to distract them from all you're talking about, the terrible economic crisis going on that has real effects on many millions of people around the world, job losses, home losses, pension losses. I mean, this is real serious stuff. This is the kind of stuff is you get people in the streets pretty damn mad, simply not being willing to take this anymore because their own government is letting this happen and letting them be harmed while they're taking the nation's resources, the public money, and handing it over, as you say, and I've said many times, handing it over to the very people that caused this problem. So crime pays. Crime pays very well in this country. Commit a lot of it and get big rewards for what you've done. Get in trouble and get hungry and maybe swipe an apple or something or a loaf of bread and heaven help you get in the criminal justice system and be punished very severely for that. It's a terribly corrupted system that bothers me a great deal, Bob. Bothers you a great deal, too.
Yeah, it does. And I want the people who are monitoring all these programs, and I'm talking about the United States government and
the
people behind government. And I want to let them know that July 14th is a very important date in history. It is the Bastille Day in France. And the outcome of the Bastille being taken down and the prisoners being let go was the French Revolution. And during the period that followed, Robespierre and Madame Lafarge arranged for 300,000 heads to be lopped off of bodies. And if that's what these people want, that's what we'll give them. Because this is where this is all headed. And if we can't get those two pieces or three pieces of legislation, that's what's going to happen to them, because we won't be able to hold back the mobs. Because when the people find out what's been done to them and who did it, I wouldn't give them 5 cents for their lives. We'll be lucky if we can save them from the mobs. We know what they've done. We know how to punish them. And that's simple. You incarcerate them and their families and remove their wealth and give it to the state. And that's what's going to happen in America if we don't get these three pieces of legislation: investigation of the Fed, the elimination of the Fed, and tariffs. And that's the only thing I can see after 50 years of being involved in this that's going to work at this stage. Because the Fed and the banks are not going to stop inflating. It's the only way they can stay in power. Hope against hope that something happens that makes it work for them. And that's what the whole situation is all about.
Well, there is a real possibility that there could be serious trouble of the type that you mentioned, Bob. I strongly advocate nonviolence. That's the worst thing that I want to see. I truly believe that violence begets more violence. History shows, I know enough about history to know that history shows that there have been revolutions from time to time. Soviet Russia, well, Tsarist Russia had one in 1917, became Soviet Russia. It didn't turn out too well. I mean, something like that could happen here easily. It could happen anywhere. If you put people in enough duress, in enough pain, and they're hungry and they have no work, And they think the government should do something minimally to help them, and if it's not forthcoming, then enough of them just may react the way you're talking about. I think there was real fear in the 1930s, Bob, that the echoes of the Russian Revolution were still pretty fresh then. I think there was real fear that we could have something like that happen here. There was an awful lot of unrest, and I think enlightened business people and the Roosevelt administration, they weren't benevolent so much. The main goal was to save capitalism and also to preserve the financial system. But they gave a little to save a lot. So they instituted some real change. They put millions of people back to work. I see Obama talking about putting people back to work, talking about saving homes from foreclosure. But I see nothing substantive being done to do these things. So maybe we've slowed the job leeching, Bob, from numbers much higher than the reported ones, as you say. The data coming out of Washington is so badly corrupted. You and I both know that the real unemployment rate is over 20%, not this fictitious 9.4 that gets reported. And all of the numbers coming out are corrupted. to make them look better than they look, and hide the true erosion of what's going on in the country. And most important, the immense harm it's done to so many people, and how many more it will be done to in the months and likely years ahead. Oh, it really scares me. I'm getting on to 75, Bob. I wonder if I'll live long enough to see the kind of country I grew up in, which was far from perfect, but live long enough to see something that I could never imagine happening as long as I'd be alive. But like you, I see some terrible things that could be coming ahead.
Well, the way to solve it is that kind of legislation, which I mentioned. And if we can do that, we got a shot. And then we can stop all of this nonsense of bailing out the anointed ones and get down to business of saving America. And handouts are not going to do that, but yards are. And, you know, has anybody ever stopped and thought that in a worst-case scenario, we really don't need anybody else? I mean, we have enough oil in America to be able to supply our own needs and everything else for the most part. And that means that we, the biggest market in the world, can really function without others. We don't want to do that unilaterally, but what we want to do is protect our government, our people. And the formula I've given you is so simple, and that's the way it will work. And if it doesn't come, then we're going to slide into this terrible situation that nobody wants to see. I'm 73. I believe that you and I both will see the outcome of this, and it's going to be painful, even if it's on the best of circumstances, under the circumstances. And I tell people very often, we're going to have the same kind of economic life that we had during the late 40s and through the 1950s, where not everybody had very much, but they got by. And they're just going to have a life of, which is not filled with conspicuous consumption, to quote Thorstein Veblen. But, and I do remember that far back. But anyway,
yeah,
that's the way to do it. And Ron Paul's got the right idea. And I haven't even talked to him about any of these things. But that's why I'm doing 35 or so programs a week for the last few months, far more than I normally do, is putting the word out on this. And I was going out on Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS, et cetera, and all kinds of other talk shows. And I think I got to a lot of people, because I would have never dreamed that today, as of yesterday, Ron Paul has 213 co-sponsors, and I think by the end of tomorrow, and I'm just guessing, we can have the 218 necessary to force that issue, that bill, out of the committee and onto the floor. And I think it will pass.
Well, the way
and
to get this stuff,
I don't know if you know it or not, but last Friday, the Federal Reserve hired a lobbyist.
Oh, indeed.
Mrs. Robertson, who was the king, we'll have to rephrase that, the queen lobbyist for Enron. I mean, they could have made a better choice because, you know, the stigma that goes with it is dreadful. And so, but anyway, she's probably running around with a basket full of $100 bills, figuratively speaking, of course, telling all these people, look, you know where your money comes from. If you want to get reelected, you better vote against this thing. That's what's going on right now. And that brings up another subject. And this is going to be hard to get past at any time. And that is eliminate lobbyists and lobbying and eliminate campaign contributions. Everybody gets the same amount. You start a month before the election and you campaign on the issues.
Well, I will second both of those motions anytime, Bob. There are ways to get this through. Individuals calling, emailing, writing their congresspeople, their senators, It's amazing what can get done.
That's HR 1207.
Oh, indeed. Let's take a break, Bob. We'll come back in the last
minute. Sure.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the News Hour. On with Bob Chapman, last segment. Bob, I hope listeners realize that members of Congress, senators, they pay attention to what their constituents have to say. That's why it's important to let them know they have a formula. For every comment they get on an issue, they just multiply by a factor to believe that so many other people feel the same way. Big companies do exactly the same thing. If there's enough fear among members of Congress that the kind of mass violence might erupt because the situation continues to deteriorate to the point where it will be so bad that people absolutely will react, that would be the stimulus to get them to do something. Better to give up a little now than, in their minds, possibly giving up everything. So we need to put the fear of God into them, that something has to change. We're not talking about changing the world. We're talking about making a terrible system a good bit fairer than it is today, and we darn well better do it, or else.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and that's why we have this preposterous figure of 213, because people have barraged Congress, and they're more afraid of the constituents and others who are writing to them, and that factor you talked about, than they are the contributors at this point. And that's why you're going to continue to badger everybody in Congress and say, I want this out of committee. I want it passed. I want the Fed done away with. We want to see what these people are doing. We don't want any favoritism and insider trading. We don't want a revolving door between Wall Street and the Treasury Department and many other branches of government. It's got to end. And that will be step one. Step two is getting rid of the Fed. Step three is getting trade legislation. And I'll tell you, we can make it if we can do that. If we don't do it, then all I can say is, Congress, you're on Madame Lafarge's list.
Oh, indeed. Bob, you and I remember going back post-World War II when we were old enough to remember things. Oh, when I went to work in 1960, history of this country going back to the 19th century, new generations economically were bettered over the previous ones. That continued for a number of generations. It all ended in the 1970s, and ever since then, we've had programs on that. We'll have another one coming up in July. Ever since then, the standard of living of people in this country has gone down, inflation adjusted. That alone is a terrible situation. And then the exploitation by greater taking advantage, the terrible bubble economies that we inflated in the 1990s, in the new millennium years, and now we've come to what we face now, the potential of a depression that will exceed the worst of the 1930s. None of this had to happen, but it did. This is the time for major reform.
Well, I agree, and we talk about that each time that we publish the International Forecast, which is twice a week, and you can get free introductory copies to that email edition or our hard copy, and all you have to do is go to theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com, or call toll-free 800-375-4188, that's 800-375-4188, and we'll send you out either a hard copy, which was published twice a month, or the email copy, which comes out twice a week. It runs around 35 or 40 pages.
Bob, I've got to cut you off. Absolutely. I read it. You have invaluable material in your newsletter. I strongly recommend it. Bob, I thank you very much for coming on. Again, my apologies for my phone going dead.
Oh,
and I hope we... it is, stuff happens, as Rumsfeld used to say.
That's right.
I hope we can do this again.
We will.
I'm going to get my phone fixed today so I have a landline tomorrow. Join us
then. Okay.